starting a little season here at Brownsville Community Church about learning of the calling that each one of us has on our lives. A couple of weeks ago, we talked a little bit about how when we come to church, we're not spectators, that we're active participants in worship, and that it's not we come and we sit and we watch the pastor go back and forth between the pulpit and the piano or whatever, and whatever happens up here, but that we are all part of that liturgy, the work of the people. God has a call on each one of our lives. And God equips us by His Holy Spirit with gifts that are absolutely necessary for the church to fulfill its mission. Gifts that are absolutely necessary for the church, big church worldwide, to fulfill its mission, and for the church here in Brownsville to fulfill its mission. There are parts of our mission that we have not fulfilled, and that we are not fulfilling. I know it's hard to imagine, right? We aren't perfect, but in order to live more fully into our created purpose, in order to follow what God has called us to do, we need to learn about answering the call of God, the call of Christ, and being filled by His Spirit, and being equipped with His gifts. And so we are going to be looking at these areas for a healthy walk with the Lord. It might sound like it belongs on a t-shirt, but to connect, to grow, and to serve. This, in the gospel reading today, there's sort of a follow-up to Jesus' baptism. Last week we had the baptism of Jesus. We heard about the Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove, and the voice that some heard and others said it sounded like thunder. But John the Baptist testifies that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And John is saying that there is something very different about Him than me. So, we see this calling of Andrew and Peter, and Jesus invites them to come and see, to connect. And so the scene is this: John the Baptist is there, right? And he has two of his disciples that are with him. But then Jesus comes by. So you've got Andrew and Simon, later called Peter, who were following John the Baptist, which wasn't a bad thing to do at the time. And Jesus comes by, and John basically goes, "Oh, look at this guy. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is the one who is baptizing with the Holy Spirit. He was before me, and therefore is ahead of me." And it's a really wonderful thing that John wasn't jealous about losing some of his disciples. We think about, just as a little aside, they left that church and now they're coming to this church. Well, we shouldn't be following pastors anyways. We should be following Jesus. But they were interested in seeing what was different about Jesus. They knew something was powerful, and that something was different. They didn't understand it yet, but they knew enough was there that they were willing to make a major change in their lives and follow Jesus. This account of the calling of Andrew and Peter happens in a few other Gospels as well, in some other detail, which we're not going to go into today, but suffice it to say, they left a lot behind to follow Jesus. It wasn't, we're not doing anything anyways, I guess we'll follow him. It was, they considered they had to leave behind a lot to follow him. So they changed their direction and their very lives to follow where Jesus was going. They said, "I don't know where you're going, but I want to be there." That's faith. And that's trust. And that's obedience. So if we read this passage closely, we see that Andrew found Jesus first. And he saw something worth following. And then he goes and he gets his brother Simon, who's later his name is changed to Peter. But he goes against Peter. He says, "Come on, you gotta see this guy." Matthew Evelyn Lingle said, we draw people to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, but by telling or by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they will want with all their hearts to know the source of it. So these two disciples didn't know everything about Jesus. They didn't know what the road ahead was going to hold for them. You know, just last week, we had this account in the book of Acts, chapter 10 and 11, about Peter and what he was doing. And this is just the very beginning of Peter's walk following Jesus. Can you imagine if Andrew had said to himself, I'm too self-conscious to talk to my brother about this. This is a little too weird. I know he's busy. He's got too much going on. What is my brother going to think of me if I tell him about this? We've been following John the Baptist for all this time, and, you know, it's not really worth it to me. I think I'll sit back and wait and see. What would happen if Jesus didn't call Peter because Andrew had not invited Peter to come and to see Jesus? You know, what about our church family now? What about those friends and neighbors and people that we come into contact with that you know that's the voice of the Holy Spirit calling you to ask them to come and be a part, to ask them to come and check out Jesus, to show them this light so lovely that they will want with all their hearts to know the source of it, but we're afraid to? If Peter hadn't been called, what would have happened? Look at all of the accounts of people throughout the rest of Holy Scripture that were brought into an encounter with the risen Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit and released into ministry because Andrew said to his brother, let's go check this guy out. We don't see down the road the plans of God. We're just called to be obedient in that next step. God has not only given us the power of His Holy Spirit to live a holy life and to empower us to what He calls us to, but He gives us the best tools to do it. He forgives us. He saves us. He delivers us. He calls us. He empowers us. And if that were not enough, He equips us. He gives us everything we need in order to fulfill what He asks us to do. So in answering Jesus' call to come and see, Andrew and Peter connected. They traveled with Jesus. They grew in their faith and in their understanding, and then they were released to serve. It's the same with us. Many of us have heard the voice of God in our hearts and have connected. That's why we're here today instead of shoveling snow or whatever it is else that other people would be doing on a Sunday morning like this. And many of us are growing, and many of us are serving, but we can always grow deeper in our faith. We can always learn more about how we are called to serve in specific ways. You know, many of you know that I keep bees. And if there was ever any doubt that there's a God with a creative order, just learn a little bit about beehives and how they function and all the different roles of the different bees in the hive, and you say, wow. That had to have been brought into existence by something that loves order. All the bees have different jobs. They might all look the same to us when they're flying at us, when we get too close with the lawnmower to the hive. But they all have jobs. You know, there's the queen. She's in charge. She's kind of the boss. And it looks like she kind of just sits around and lays eggs, but there's a lot more that she does. There are forager bees that go out and they bring in everything that the hive needs. And they also encounter all the dangers outside the hive when they're collecting food. There's the guard bees that park at the entrance to the hive. Those are the ones that sit out on the edge. And you know they're watching you when you get close. There are undertaker bees that are responsible for removing dead bodies from the hive. You know, this time of year, when we get a warm day, at the end of the day, there's a couple hundred dead bees out in front of my hive because the undertakers have done their job. There are bees that collect water to regulate humidity in the hive. There are plasterers that make a special kind of cement that hold the hive together. They also will station themselves at the entrance and fan themselves to send out the word to the lost or disoriented bees that are still out there. Then there's scout bees that go out and try to find a new place to live if it gets too crowded in the hive. And it goes on and on and on. There's all different kinds of bees. If they were all doing the same thing, just hanging out in the hive would die. Nothing would happen. If they aren't doing their intended purpose, if they aren't fulfilling their role, and if just one set of bees in the hive doesn't do what they're supposed to do, the whole thing is going to fail. It might seem a little simplistic, but in a very similar way, the Lord has given each of us spiritual gifts and tasks to all of us in the church. No one's called to sit around. Everyone can do something. The work of the church is not going to be accomplished until all of us do what God has called us to do. So God calls us into obedience, into service, but he doesn't ask us to do it without giving us everything we need to do it. If you have discovered in some way what God has called you to do, you know already that when you operate in the area that God has called you to operate, it is the most joyful thing. There's something inside that is completed when we are fulfilling our purpose in that way with the spiritual gifts that God, by his Holy Spirit, has given to us. Spiritual gifts bestow an unusual effectiveness in the responsibility given to all of us as believers. You know, God commands all believers to serve and to evangelize and to pray and to intercede for others and to trust him for provision, to be generous and to encourage one another and so on. But as we begin to walk out our life in faith, we might discover that some people are particularly effective in one area or another like this. This unusual effectiveness can be the sign of a spiritual gifting. We discover our spiritual gifts as we actively pursue what God's calling us to do. Some people believe that spiritual gifts sometimes reveal themselves where our passions intersect with what we're good at and where others affirm in us what they see that is good and that we're effective in. And then God takes something and empowers it by his Holy Spirit. You know, if I couldn't play the piano, that would not be something that God would probably use as a spiritual gift. It might be interesting on a Sunday morning. You know, spiritual gifts often also arise out of the unique ways God has led us through our lives. Each one of us has a life story and a story of faith. Our stories are not all roses. Many of us have walked very challenging roads in life. We have been through stuff. We have seen things we wish we could unsee. We have experienced things that have scarred us in ways that only God, by his Spirit, can heal. But even though those things have happened to us, God can make us like a multifaceted diamond. Have you ever watched how a diamond catches the light when you turn it? God wastes nothing. And he works in all different areas of our lives in amazing and powerful ways. Sometimes when we see God's hand at work doing something, we might not realize that he's doing something, but it's connected to something else in our lives that's connected to something else. And before you know it, God has taken something awful in our lives that was meant for evil, that was meant for harm, that was meant for sickness and death. But God redeems it and turns it around and uses it to draw other people. Gives hope to other people who are now walking the road that you at one time were in. So some people might say, well, pastor, spiritual gifts are really easy for you to talk about because you're a pastor. live in that world. What about the rest of us? We live in that world too. We're all called as followers of Jesus Christ. You know, the Spirit of God works wherever we are, in our secular vocations, wherever we are, whatever we are doing. God will use us wherever we are, with whomever we are with, and whenever we are available to Him. He will take any circumstance that we are in, and if we are willing, He will use us to draw others to Him. So there's this story that you've probably heard before, but David Jeremiah tells it, and I'm going to borrow it from him. I don't know where he borrowed it from, but it's about geese. You ever watch the V, right? The geese flying. It looks like it's a beautiful thing and a wonderful organizational way for geese to fly, but it's actually a survival method for them. If you watch them, you will see that sometimes the lead bird drops out of formation and ends up in the back, and then someone else up closer to the front takes on the lead position. When geese flap their wings, it creates an uplift, and the goose that's in front is breaking the wing. He is working the hardest. And all the other ones basically are drafting behind each other as they fly. And so the geese take turns lifting up one another as they fly. They work together to bear the load and to survive. And so by cooperating, they can achieve just amazing distances, you know, that they fly. By cooperating and working together, there are long migrations that otherwise would be impossible, if not exceedingly difficult, are accomplished. And it's in the same way that God calls us. You know, if there's only one or two or three geese that are cutting all the wind, it's tough. But if each one of us discovers what the spiritual gifts are that we have, if we answer that call of Jesus where He says, come and see, if we become filled with His Holy Spirit, when we discover those gifts and then learn to use them, it's a wonderful sense of joy of being in God's purpose. It's a wonderful sense of being in obedience to Him. And it's beautiful to be able to look back and see how God has been leading and guiding, even when we could only see the next step ahead. So truly following God doesn't need to be drudgery. It doesn't need to be loneliness or sort of pointless self-denial. It can be discovering what you were created to be and to do and to follow Christ joyfully, using everything that He's given to you for His glory. So I invite you over the next few weeks to not just forget about the words on Sunday morning and then go about the week, but to pray about and think and consider. Remember that time that you first heard the voice of the Lord calling in your heart when the Holy Spirit was drawing you. Maybe you were really excited about your faith at that time. And maybe that flame has dulled to an ember that still gets you here on Sunday morning, but isn't that fire that was once in you. I am here to encourage you and tell you that the Lord wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. He wants to equip you. He wants to empower you. He wants to send you out in ways that you can't even imagine. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.